This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Sharad Kutan. It's time for our weekly Pressing Matters show. So we have that every Monday after the 9:30 bulletin. It's a show in which we go behind the headlines and speak to journalists people in the news to get a sense of the stories of the day. Today, our guests are Ian and Elroy Yee, editor and senior producer, respectively, of the award-winning Star Rage team. That's R, full stop, A-G-E, as an age, team. I don't know what the R stands for. What I know what age is, because I know you're all very young. You're both very young, these two young gentlemen sitting in front of me. In their early 30s, and they look even younger than that. So let's begin, guys. Thank you so much for being here. You've won all these awards, and I look at your website, and it has you, and you have all your awards posing. You look very happy, very proud of yourselves, and you rightly so. And you say in the kind of about us section, you say, well, we're a bunch of young journalists. And it says, no clickbait, rehash, copy and paste stories here. We believe good journalism shouldn't be just about what's trending and what gets us more video views. Very interesting, because we live in an age when everybody wants to go viral. Clickbait is the strategy to help, get those numbers and to retain people when they watch your videos or your content. So what is it? Why is it that you set out to kind of define yourself against, what has become common wisdom? I'm going to begin with you, Ian. I mean, why is it, and you're the editor of Rage, tell us why you've chosen to define yourself this way?
Yeah, it all came down to that pivotal moment we had, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, where the industry is being so disrupted by lots of these online portals. And they were doing a great job in terms of getting increasing traffic, using some means that we don't agree with as traditional media companies. And we figured, it was either kind of stick or twist. We either go with it or we do something completely radical and completely different. And so we at Rage, at least, we decided, let's give it a go. Let's go the completely opposite direction. None of this secondhand news thing anymore. We're not going to be a secondhand news producer. So we decided that we'd go full on with investigative undercover work. And thankfully, it's paid off. Our view counts have gone up, actually. And our analytics tell us that our audience is generally young, between 18 to 30. That's our main audience. So there is an appetite among young Malaysians for good quality journalism. I just think that the media industry has been so used to just giving them what they want, clickbait stuff that they want to click on. And it's also self-serving in that sense. It helps people get more, helps the portals get more views, more likes, more engagement, and that's good for advertising. But we've proven that the opposite can be true as well. Give them real quality journalism, and they lap it up and they get more involved and more engaged than any other age group.
Okay, Elroy, I want to bring you into this point in time. Your younger brother was at the Star first, and I think, as I understand it, he was with Rage first in its early iterations of different projects. You came on when Rage went into video. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the question was, were you in journalism before that? If not, why were you interested, apart from spending much of your day with your brother, why is it that you decided to get involved in something like Rage?
Aside from spending more time with my brother,
because you're very, because a family that writes together stays together, right?
Yeah. Before that, I was doing documentaries, so I worked as fixer, then producer, producing for Channel News Asia, for some local channels as well. And I did entertainment programs with Astro. So I actually knew that the next thing I wanted to do would be news, because once I started doing documentaries, the spark, it lit a flame. I know it sounds cliche, but it dawned on me that that's what I want to do. I'm sick and tired of doing entertainment for entertainment's sake. With the skills that I have, I want to be able to contribute back to society in some way. I mean, I can earn a lot of money, but what would it mean if my skills don't achieve anything? So this was a way then. And he wanted to start Video Enrich, and it just worked out that our paths kind of joined. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, now if you want to ask these two young men any questions, you can of course join this conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899. I want to come back to you, Ian, about this this idea that you could forego the common wisdom about what young people want and the methods of engaging them and then kind of basically keep faith with a traditional notion of the media. Now, what did it take for the and who made that decision to insulate you from these kinds of pressures, to give you the resources and say, oh, well, your KPIs aren't views and clicks and you don't have to do this, you just have to do good work. Who said that was possible and what kind of resources were you given?
I think we kind of had to chart our own path for that. There was no real there was no real strategy from the top. This is what you got to do. And I think in a way that was good because the company has been actually really supportive of what Rage does. And even before that, we were winning quite a few awards for our print work, especially for stuff that was targeted towards young people. So we kind of saw that there was potential there. We were telling people that, see, we've won awards with these good stories. We were getting a bit of recognition from the public as well. We get nice emails from people saying that, thanks for creating this kind of work. It's not stuff that young people usually read, but, you're educating people and stuff like that. So we kind of used those as case studies and went to the management and said, there's potential here. And I think if I don't say so myself, I think we have been good custodians of the resources that were given to us. And we kept inching more and more and said, give us a bit more. And each time we would show that we had produced results. So I think that's a bit underrated among young people today. You have to work for it. There's no investor that's going to come over and write you a check for $1 million and say, go have fun with it. We really had to work our way up very slowly and surely. In fact, we were actually told that at one point we could only produce a video every time we brought in some form of sponsorship for that video. And that's actually how we managed to get Elroy on board. It was one of those things. It's crazy.
So you needed to get sponsorship for investigative pieces?
Oh, no, that was before we could start with our investigative work. So we were doing more commercial projects at the time. So they said, if you manage to bring in a commercial project and prove that this is financially viable, you can take a cut from that and start building your team for the real work you want to do. So we did it that way, and it was incredibly taxing for about a year because during the day we were print journalists. We were still writing, editorial journalists. And then during the night, we were running around with Elroy trying to produce all these videos, both commercial and journalistic in nature. And finally, in October 2015, I still remember the date very clearly because that's when the company finally said, okay, I'll put you out of your misery. Here's a budget. You guys have proven that you can handle it, that you can produce results. And that's when Elroy immediately went to work on The Curse of Sarawan, which was our first major Rage documentary. Won a whole bunch of awards, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Okay, so Elroy, in your mind, the question of, and this category we called young people, right? We have different words for it. We call millennials, and you clearly both are millennials. But the question is, when you make something, you must have an idea of who you're making it for and what their appetites are, right? So there's always this idea that videos have to be short because people's attention span. Has that all panned out to be true? What is your conception of the person you're speaking to in your videos?
I think we have to engage the urban youth. And that's what we want to do, and that's our target market. So we tailor our content. We do tailor our content to that target, to that demographic. But at the same time, the stories need to be told a certain way, and we have to be responsible for how it's being told so that it doesn't come off as flippant or it's not perceived the wrong way. So we as professionals need to tailor our content to the market, but at the same time, be responsible in how you're telling it. Make sure that the facts are all there. Even though the facts are dry, try to jazz it up, but keep it there. And make sure that the content is not just all emotions and all fast-paced and exciting, but make sure the data and the research comes through the content. And I think it's kind of catering to the market, at the same time bringing your professionalism and your expertise to bear on the content. Yeah. So
that's okay, how that's Elroy Yee, and with him, Ian Yee, with Rage the Stars, I don't know, youth video team extraordinaire. We'll be talking to them more about the kind of work they've been doing and what they've discovered about the nature of the media. Stay with us. After this, we'll be back, BFM 89.9. Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. My guest this morning, Ian Yee, editor at Rage Star, and Elroy Yee, he's the senior producer at the Star. They, of course, are responsible for some award-winning documentary series, one of them, Predator in My Phone, which looked at child sex predators, and also student trafficked, which looked at young Bangladeshi students who came here in hopes of studying, end up finding themselves working in, I don't know, a whole range of things, including sweatshops. Both of them very, very interesting stories. And the question, because in this country, is investigative journalism does happen, doesn't happen very often. We don't see many mainstream media organizations in this country having units dedicated to investigative journalism. And there's this feeling that there are kind of limits to investigative journalism. There's some things you're going to be able to investigate and some things you're not going to be able to investigate. Elroy, tell us, where are the lines and have the lines been drawn for you as to what you can and cannot investigate?
I think the lines are drawn for me by the people who have practiced investigative journalism throughout the decades, and not just around the world and in Malaysia as well. I'm sure there are journalists who are out there who are pushing the boundaries as best they can. And we draw from their work and we build on their work. So we know from them that by practice we don't do, let's say, undercover work is the last resort. You try to get the information in any way you can. Not in any way you can, sorry. In the conventional ways, you ask for an interview or you try to do your research right, talk to the right people. And undercover work is when there's absolutely no other way to get that information, and that information is of public service. Then you do undercover work. So those are the lines that have been drawn. They are not specifically drawn for me by the company, but these are the ethics of journalism that I think most journalists would gladly adhere to. And it's built up over the ages, these ethics. So that's what we base our work on. Those are the borders for us. Those are the limits for us.
I mean, Ian, the political, you know, a lot of people just assume that mainstream media is a very political creature and that there are going to be no-go lines. But I think everybody's going to assume that there are these, you know, well, we know what stories can't be done in this country. But isn't there also a kind of demand from your target audience? Isn't there will the political stories be of great interest to young people, or are they looking for something else? And what is that? If that's true, what is that something else?
Yeah, I think when we set out, we told ourselves we wanted to do work that helps the community. You know, we want to tackle issues that help people that don't have a voice. So, for example, Bangladeshi migrant workers who are stuck here and have no legal recourse. They can't go home. They can't. If they stay here, they're illegal. So we want to help people like that. Or the Orang Asli with the Curse of Soran, our first documentary. So it's all very social issue based, not very political. But at the end of the day, we recognize that all these issues always lead back to politics. These are the people that can help. And so in the end, what we decided to do was we made it part of our kind of like identity, our DNA as a team, that every project we take up must have a solution, must have a cause. So if you're going to talk about a problem, we better make sure that our research is good enough that we have sort of a pretty good solution to it as well. We'll work with the various NGOs, and actually that takes up a lot of our time. Producing content is actually is the easy part. Like people like Elroy, no problem. They can come up with a great video, give them a camera in a few weeks, they'll come back with something good. It's what we do after that that's important. And that's what I think really engages young people. This generation is great because they're always out there trying to help, trying to find ways to make their work matter more, you know, do something.
I want to take you up on that because, Elroy, not the impression that people have of this, of your generation. Your generation is seen as self-centered, selfish, you know, interested in pleasure and in
consumer. Give them a purpose. Give them something to work for. Give them something where they can see the effort they put in results in something. I mean, they want things to change, but you have to give them an avenue to work towards it. And at the moment, the avenue is not clear to them. But what we're doing is every time we report on a story, we try to give them something to act on. And when they act on it, they see that something happens. And sometimes it might even be a nominal action. But when it gets them involved, it creates something. They can say, hey, look, I did this to their friends, and it spreads on from there. Yeah. They share the videos, they share the
messages. So, Elroy, and you're both quite young, but I understand you're like the grandpappies of the Rage team, right? And there's all these other people, the really young people. What are they drawn to? I mean, we've always known that they're young people, and some young people are socially conscious when they're 8 years old or something, and then others who never really get out of that selfish mode, right? So, what is it? Is there a group of young people that you can't reach? Are there people that you find just don't care about the suffering of others, for instance, Elroy?
Are there people who don't care about the suffering of others?
And you try to reach them. Are you just preaching to the choir? I mean, to people who are naturally disposed and empathetic and such?
I think our message is to the urban youth. Okay, we try to package it in a way that they can receive it and they're receptive to it. But for people who don't feel any empathy or sympathy at all, and I find it hard to blame them. I mean, we've allowed society to grow this way, us old people, us grandpappies. And we can't just say, look, it's their fault, they don't care, they don't feel sympathy. But what about the people who've come before? Are we giving them the right platform to do things? To say things, to express themselves, or to affect change. So that's what we have to do. Are there people that we cannot reach? I don't believe that.
Is there a possibility of fatigue? If you keep doing these hard-hitting investigative pieces, Ian, that are about the marginalized and the dispossessed, is there people going to say, okay, not another story about the marginalized and dispossessed? I mean, there's just so much I can take of this.
Yeah, we get that, actually. Even internally within the team, we have to try to protect our team from that and make sure that they don't get too crestfallen when things don't work out. But that's why for us, we have to make that call to action bit is actually a bit self-serving as well. We want to make sure that the audience feels that it's going somewhere. So when we have that, like, for example, student traffic, the call to action is to get is to help victims of student trafficking to get make an online report. So as people see the numbers, as people see that their actions just by sharing the video or spreading that link to the online reporting forum, they're helping someone. That kind of keeps the adrenaline going, and they're like, "What's the next project? Let me help again."
What about? So I'm looking at some of the things that you have. You had racist rentals. That's one title. And you have She Ain't Heavy, She's My Brother, which is about a transgendered man in a small Malaysian town. I mean, identity issues really. Issues that touch young people more than, say, perhaps the issues of a marginalized community, Elroy?
Identity issues.
People who are struggling with their sexuality or their whether they feel Malaysian enough and issues like that.
I think, again, different people, different issues resound with different people in different ways. But when we take up issues of marginalized community, it's with the understanding that they don't have a voice or they don't have a platform or they have less access to that, and we want to give it to them. People who are more privileged, they have their problems as well. And we sometimes make the decision to report on those issues, but again, the marginalized community, they don't have a voice. And if a society is to function, we have to help these people to lift themselves up a bit. And I'm not saying it as a savior, mentality, but we have to give them a place where they can express themselves.
But Ian, wasn't the larger paper, the main pages, weren't they already doing that? I mean, isn't there a lot of reporting on marginalized communities going on in the other sections of the news of the Star? Mm-hmm. Why was it necessary for your section to deal with that?
Yeah. Basic, Basically, it's because we reach out to a younger audience, I believe. You know, we reach out to a very niche audience. I think newspapers have traditionally always struggled with trying to get your college-age kids. So when usually that's the black hole, right? When they're in school, there are newspaper and education programs. You know, you have to buy the paper and you have to. It's educational in nature. But when you go to colleges, they tend to stop. And that's where we came in and figured that let's do these kinds of stories in a manner that is relevant to young people. So, yeah.
Anyway, do you tap the older people in the newspaper, the people who have been working on issues of the marginalized for decades? Yeah. And are they, you know, what do you say to them? Well, you've been doing great work, but you can't communicate to young people. I mean, you know, how do you talk to your colleagues?
Oh, I completely respect the journalists who work the daily beat, who come in with news stories every day. They are the building blocks. They give us the platform to build on. Our stories are built on their work. We cannot say that, oh, we do it better than them. But we, a lot of times, especially if you're fact-checking things, you always go back to these daily articles in the newspapers. Yep. And these are the journalists. Every time we do a story, we try to call the journalists who have done stories similar to what we've done, just to let them know or to pick their brains. And I feel that that's something that we don't deny at all. We don't say, oh, we are young and we're better than these journalists. But they are the journalists who came before us, and they've laid the path for what we're doing now.
Yeah, we just reach out to young people a bit better because we are that age.
Ian, are you hiring?
Yes, we are.
Please.
Yes, we are.
So if somebody listening to the show wants to get hired by you, what should he or she do?
They should email alltherage@thestar.com.my.
Okay. I've been speaking to Ian Yee and his brother Elroy Yee, both of whom are with the Rage team at The Star, doing fabulous work and winning awards. This has been Pressing Matters. I'm Sharad Kutin. Next up, we're going to have the news, and then we'll be back with Frida Liu and the Enterprise team. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.